Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Terrell would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Directly following this service, we will enjoy our fellowship luncheon, and everyone is invited for good food and fellowship. Please note in your bulletin that the last activity this afternoon is the worship service at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock, and that service will be conducted as usual. And all other activities are canceled, which is our custom on the last Sunday of the month. All other activities this afternoon are canceled. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and next Sunday, and there is an additional insert concerning the father and son breakfast and the congratulations to our graduates. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 3 and 4. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 67, How Can It Be?
Thank you.
continue our worship with hymn number 235, Pass Me Not. Now, as we sing hymn number 448, He Ransomed Me.
Heavenly Father, once again, we open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church and the airways of radio and internet to bring the good news of God to the people of this world and to the people of this city and the cities around us. That in Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness of sin. That in Christ Jesus, there is a new life. That in Christ Jesus, there is hope. Bless us as we already have done in praising your name. And then we will read the scripture, the Holy Scripture of God. Bless the reading, they may have senses in each one of our hearts. And then as the choir sing and praise your name, may you be glorified deep inside each member of the choir to sing with conviction of what God really is. And God, as a church body, help us to have the love of Christ for everyone, to accept them as they are, and to bring them into the admonition and the wonderful news of God through His Word. We thank You, Lord, for our missionaries. We thank You for each one of them. They are in different places and doing different things. For Fred and Carol Luce, for Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rose, Giovanni and Barbara Adendano, Martha Coretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey as Daniel travel in the races to bring as a chaplain the Word of God to those in need. We thank You, Lord, that as a church body we can intercede for our own people. And we pray for Donald McDowell as he's recovering at home from surgery. We pray for Joe McCormack as he's recovering from his accident. From Loretta Forrest as she lays in bed. From George Bedodo's father as he had a very bad accident right at the door of his home. We pray for his recovery. For Anne Pareto, that she may have a strength. From Mary and Jerry West, and for Mildred Plica, that she may recover fully from the surgery and be protected by this mighty God of ours who specializes in miracles. And then, Father, bless us as we listen to Your Word. Help us to say, yes, I believe, or help us to reason why we don't believe. Now, Father, You have been a provider for us through 25 years. And You never fail us. You have been faithful. And so we thank the offering and we thank the giver in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please.
All right, it's time for an evangelism update. I have beautiful, wonderful news. You guys know about the 1,000 Bibles that we purchased and we've been distributing for free. Well, about 722 Bibles have been given out. Yeah, that is Jesus Christ working with His church. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why is it so important that we distribute Bibles? I want to answer this with a scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, which is on page 1232 and verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, page 1232. And it says this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Well, how are they going to believe in Jesus Christ if they don't have the Word of God? How are they going to know who the God that they're going to call upon is? How to be saved? How are they going to know any of these things? They're not going to know without the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to be able to do something like this, to purchase 1,000 Bibles and give them away for free. Because we need to get the Word out. If they don't hear the Word of God, they can't believe. And if they can't believe, they can't call on the name of the Lord and be saved. So, we need to continue with the evangelism that we've already started. We need to get ready for the 2,000 Bibles that we're going to get, the 3,000 Bibles, all the tracts that we need to go and hand out. And the reason why is that unless we do the work of evangelism, people are not going to hear the Word of God. People are not going to know the love of God, the goodness of God. They're not going to know the road to salvation. They're not going to be able to believe, and they're not going to be able to call on Christ. And if you're here today, well, we have a preacher here. He's going to give you the Word of God. And if you believe, call on the name of the Lord, and today is the day of salvation for you. So, let this church continue in what it has begun. We have not only Maria helping out with her business. She has Bibles in her business. She is evangelizing. People have been saved in her hair salon. I mean, that's incredible. God can use every single person here if you're willing to be faithful. That's it. It's just being available to God. So be available to God in whatever way that you can. And we'll get the rest of these 200 some odd Bibles, and then we'll get ready for whatever else God has. We've got a new church that's going to be, built. Who knows what God has for us planned, but I know this. God is using this church, and that is great. And let's pray that God continues to use us as we are willing to be used. Amen?
Thank you, Chris, for that encouraging update. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Revelation. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1338. We will be reading Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for saving us from the wrath to come. We thank you that according to the Scriptures, we have been taught that repentance cannot be separated from faith. We pray that this truth would be ever before us, so that we may not sin against you. We thank you that we have been justified freely by your grace, and you have redeemed us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We pray that the fruit of his study of the Scriptures will lead to our understanding and application of your word to our lives every day. Bless us and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that all of us following and loving the Lord Jesus Christ would demonstrate that love by keeping his commandments. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you very much, my brother, for reading God's Holy Word. Let me see now. All right. I want to preach this morning from somewhat a very peculiar subject. I want to talk about why Jezebel will spend all the eternity in hell. Again, I want to talk to you very seriously about something that is recorded in the Scripture. Why Jezebel will spend the entire eternity in hell. I received a lot of emails, and one of the emails came from Pennsylvania and said this: I want to know what it happened to hell. You don't hear much of it no more. And it's true. It is absolutely true. And I think that while we are explaining to people what are we trying to win them through, we must also explain to people what we are trying to win them from, so that that will be a complete package. There is a lot of things about hell, but I want to tell you this. I believe with all my heart that hell is a place. This is not my day for microphones. What we put here. I believe that hell is a place. I believe that is just what the Bible says it is. Not what any other book that people wrote says. And so I thought that I should remind you and those who are guests in the internet and in the radio this morning with this question. Why Jezebel will spend the entire eternity in hell? Because we know that Jezebel is indeed a person, if you record it in the Scripture. And we know, according to my text that I will show you later on, that she will expend the entire eternity of her life in hell. And if we can do anything to stop somebody going there, our church will do it. And the best thing is to proclaim the Word of God to you.
If you turn your Bible to Psalm 9 in verse 17, page 640, Psalm 9 and verse 17, page 640, the Bible said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." Do you see it? With your own eyes. "The wicked shall be turned into hell." And according to the same text, look at the next sentence in the text. "All nations that forget God shall be turned into Sheol," or into hell, whatever language you want to use, Aramaic or Hebrew. You see it? The Bible says clearly in Psalm 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations who forget God will go into hell." Move a few pages of your Bible to Psalm 139 and verse 8. Psalm 139 and verse 8. And there, David said, "If I make my bed in hell," this is the second section of the text, Psalm 139, verse 8, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Turn your Bible to Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 14, page 765. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. And look the sentence of the text in Isaiah 5 and verse 14. "Hell hath enlarged herself." Hell hath enlarged herself. Yes, my friend, hell is a place. It's not a religious idea. It is not the opinion of some pastors or priests or church. Hell is a place. You can move your Bible to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, page 1048. And Matthew, as you turn to the pages, I will speak about that verse. Matthew 10:28 speaks of body and soul being cast into hell. Look at what the Bible says. "Fear not then which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Clear. And then you can turn your Bible to Luke Gospel chapter 16, verse 19 to 28. Luke Gospel chapter 16, verse 19. Here there is a man who made a request from hell. And you will see it. I read it for you. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 28. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in pure and purple and fine linen and fare sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Not interesting? "And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may
dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of these, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Seems to me that those brethren were in the same way this guy was leaving. And look at what God said. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let us hear them. That's what we pass Bibles, by the way. This is the book that will give you life. This is the book that will turn you around from your way to heaven. See, Moses and the prophet is the expression, if you were Hebrew, you will know what the scripture is talking about. Moses are five books of the Bible. Remember? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Bible. The prophets in Hebrew means all the prophets of the scripture. And so he said, they have the scripture. Alright? Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. I got that question all the time, especially on the coffee shop. Well, we cannot believe in hell, we cannot believe in heaven, because who came from there? If one will come from there, then we will believe. What the scripture says? Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear no Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My friend, even if somebody comes from the dead, that person does not have the power to light your heart so that you know God. Only the scripture has the power. Finally, my brother, I have to say this. I have no problem myself with accepting what the Bible says. Hell is a place. Let me tell you what kind of place is this. Hell is a place where no flowers bloom. I have in my home here in the mountains a private patio where I have my flowers. And I'm in custody of those flowers. And there are nice, beautiful doors and steels on the sides. And my friends, the deer comes and look on. And I say, ha, 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 this is my flowers. And I put the water and the chemicals and so on. And then once in a while, you see those flowers. And your heart moves on. Hell is a place where no flowers bloom. Hell is a place where there is separation from the love of God. And I don't dare to live 1 minute in this world separated from the love of God. Hell is a place where prayers are no answer. We come here in prayer meeting and pray. Blind pray. And 6 months later, or 1 day later, or 1 year later, we see God answering those prayers. Hell is a place where prayers are no answer. Hell is a place that when you get there, you can't die. You are eternally in flame, and you will be able to look heaven and see those people that taught you the gospel and you rejected. From the other place, cannot see you, but you will see it. And that's the torment you will have in your life. Hell has no doors. We're trying to design the new building for our church. And we're trying to accommodate doors. Doors occupy a lot of places. And we try to see that the doors are in the right place. And in case of fire, that there is a state door here and a door there. And the architects will know better. But doors are important. Hell is a place with no doors. Hell has no revival meetings. You will not have press coming to you with the Bible. Like he does over there by the Starbucks. Somebody is coming and he just go after that person. You will not have grace any longer. Hell is not a place you try out for a weekend and then decide that rather I'd be in heaven. No, sir. I invite people to church and they say, oh, let me try out. No, this is not a place to try out, friend. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what the gospel is for. See, the gospel is not a formula to improve your image or to make you a better person. The gospel has the power to take you from the road to hell and send you by and by to the road to heaven. That's what the gospel is. We are not in a psychological business. We are in a spiritual business to proclaim healing for your soul. Someone has said, hell is something that you believe if you have not schooling. Somebody told me in the coffee shop, oh, maybe you believe in hell because you went, you know, they love me, I'm a Spanish. So you never went to school. And I smile. Hell is something that you believe, told me somebody else, if you're a religious nut, then that's what you believe. But my friend, we preach about hell because I do not want you to go to hell. That's what we preach about hell. Now, why Jezebel spent and will spend all her eternity in hell? Let me lay out so you understand why. Let me lay out this in this way. First, we're going to talk about why she is not in hell. And then see for what reason she went to hell. So the first part will be, let's talk about why she is not in hell. And then let's talk about why she is in hell. Now, if this is what you are doing, you will go to hell too. If when I tell you why Jezebel is in hell, if you are doing the same thing, this is you too will end up with her. And so I have to bring you the news to you. Let's talk about it. First, she was not in hell because she had an idolatrous father. Turn your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, page 432. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31, page 432. She is not in hell because she had an idolatrous father. 1 Kings chapter 16, please. Verse 31. Said the scripture this way. And it came to pass, as if it had been a life thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Baal, king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. She is not in hell because her father was an idolatrous. How do I know that? If you turn your Bible to Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20, page 917, Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 20, you will know that she is not in hell because her father was an idolatrous person. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of his son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So, my friend, it's very clear. So, hell is not a family affair. Hell is not a family affair. It is me. It is a personal matter we have to resolve individually. It is not because your mother or your father were idolaters that you go to hell. You go to hell because of you. That's number one. Number two, she is not in hell because she destroyed the prophets of God. Go back to 1 Kings, please, page 435, and let's read chapter 19. Let me start reading from 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 1. She was an evil person, but she's not in hell because of that. 1 Kings chapter 19, page 435. Let's start reading from verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel, Ahab was the husband, all that Elijah had done, and how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Maybe they were in their living room, and the king Ahab and Jezebel were there, and Jezebel asked him, how was the day? And so you don't know what happened. Elijah destroyed everybody. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah and said, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. Can you imagine? This is a serious matter. She picked up the phone and said, Elijah, I want you to know that tomorrow morning, yes, we kill you. Amazing. Amazing. This business of crucifying the preacher is a serious business. She destroyed the prophets of God, and the scripture has something to say about it. Turn your Bible to Psalm 105, page 694. 105 and verse 15. You don't dare to touch the prophet of God, the preacher of God. Psalm 105 and verse 15. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible said this word, touch not my anointed and do my prophet harms. You see what the Bible says? Psalm 105 verse 15. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So this is a serious matter. You don't talk about the prophet of God. You don't touch the prophet of God. You get God deal with him. But Jezebel, he will kill the prophet. But she's not in hell for that. Clearly, she is not in hell because she is a murderer, according to the scriptures. Go to 1 Kings 21. You can't believe this. 1 Kings chapter 21. And I have to read verses 1 to 15. Because I can tell you this story, but that would be my lips. I want you to see it. This is better than San Francisco Chronicle. This is better than the New York Times. I tell you, this is spectacular. It's unbelievable. And I want to tell you this, she is not in hell because she's a murderer. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Kings chapter 21. Are you there? Now hear the word. Hear the word. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seems good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You know the book of Leviticus? You cannot sell your father's house. You die, you receive your inheritance from your fathers, you cannot sell it. So the man is following the Bible. He said, I'm sorry, my king, you must be the king here, but this is the Lord God. I cannot sell you this. Now, listen carefully. Verse 4. This, you know, have you ever met somebody who is a mama boy? I think Ahab was a mama boy, you know. You hurt him and he goes to mama. Oh, so-and-so hurt me. You remember when you were little? You know, we play little marbles and I used to hit people and they win and then they go cry to their parents. Hear this. Verse 4. And Ahab came into his house crying and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he has said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and will eat no food. He got depressed. If he was in today's world, he got depressed. Like a king of Israel. So when people got depressed today, I understand. Verse 5. But Jezebel, isn't the Bible excited? But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, darling, why is thy spirit so sad? Why don't you eat food? And he said unto her, because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Are you the king boy? Little boy, are you the king of the land? Wow. Arise and eat food and let thy heart be merry. I take care of that. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I take care of that, darling. Don't worry about it. Come on, let's be happy. We are young. Let's enjoy ourselves. I take care of that. Now come this story, how she did it. So, verse 8, she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles who were in the city dwelling in Naboth. The elders are like the senators in America. And verse 9, she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim the fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, worthless fellows, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. In other words, she lied about the fellow and said, we're going to get rid of this fellow. And the men of his city, even the elders, and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city did as Jezreel has sent unto them, and as it was written in the letter which she has sent unto them. They proclaimed the fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, worthless fellows, and sat before him, and the worthless men witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king, and they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with a stone, so that he died. Then they sent to Jezreel, saying, Naboth is stoned, and is dead. Now look at verse 15. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, my little boy, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but he is dead. Is that heavy? That Jezebel is not in hell because she murdered Naboth. In heaven there will be some people who murder on this earth. Like Jezebel. Others who cheat in their business, they will be in heaven. Others who were prostitutes will be in heaven. Others who were homosexuals, the Bible speaks about that, will be in heaven. There's a great hope for homosexuals. The Bible has a great hope for them. And so there is a possibility of all these people to be in heaven. Now, why she is not in heaven? I've already read it. Revelation chapter 2, please. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 20 and 21. Last book of the Bible. Revelation 2, verse 20 and 21. This is why she is in hell. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Look at what God said in verse 21. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. And what? She repented not. That is it. She's not in hell because of her family background. She is not in hell because she disregards the prophets of God. She is not in hell because she is a murderer. She is in hell because she disregards the love of God. The reason why you and I can bless the name of God is because He loved us and sent His Son and died for me. That's why she is in hell. God gave her a space. Do you know the verse 21? God said, I gave her a space. Opportunity. Chance to repent. And she disregarded. You are here this morning. You are listening to me over the radio. Maybe for years. You maybe listen to me over the internet. Now for years. And you listen and you think it's a nice sermon. But you do not repent of your sin. Of disregard the Son of God. And you're going to hell. That's what the scripture says. It's amazing. You don't have to turn there because the scripture I want to read now because the time. But in Luke 18, verse 13 and 14, we have two men and would not repent and trying to justify. One would not repent and trying to justify before God. It's in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 and verse 14. I better go over there so that you know. I don't want people to quote me. I want you to quote the scripture. Luke 18 and verse 13 and 14. And the accountant, the tax collector, is standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but is mocked upon his breast, saying, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. You see it? One man did not say, oh God, my father was a believer. Oh God, we did this, we did the other. He said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Now, you have only to say it once. No, every day. Only once. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. I tell you, said Jesus, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Jesus said, one who repent was justified and went to heaven. God has given you a space. God has given you opportunity this morning. Will you repent? You have been hearing the gospel for a long time. You have been hearing the gospel for a long time. You have heard the scriptures from me, from Brother Pastor Tomlinson, from our Brother Ramil. You have heard from a long time the scriptures. Have you repented in your heart and say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I will not go to hell because He went to hell for me. Will you do that? Is that what happened in your heart? God has given you opportunity. Remember the passage of the man who was in hell? So he said, ha, ha, ha. You have opportunity. Once you die and you go into hell, you have no other chance to look unto God. Will you repent today and take the love of God rather than the hatred of God? And I say this respectfully. Either you take the love of God in your life or you're going to face God and the fury of his hate because you did not repent. Heavenly Father, thank you that you allow us today to speak about this serious issue of repenting. It's not just listening to the scripture and say, what a great sermon. It's not saying, oh, what a great Bible, what a great book, the Bible. It's not just saying, yes, I think I agree. Lord, cause people to repent of their sin and take Jesus as a Savior who took their place in Calvary Cross. Oh, we use excuses, God. Yes, we do. But help us to put the excuses away and repent of our sin and believe in Jesus, my Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. To close this sermon this morning without giving you an opportunity to repent. You are listening to me either over the airways of internet or radio, but you write an email and tell me what God has done in your life. You have repented maybe a long time ago and you're a child of God and we don't know. So will you write to us, Pastor Otero at VVCMH. That or Pastor Otero at bbcmh.org. But if you are here, and somewhere, somehow, during this year, you said, yes, I believe. I understand now. I believe. The Bible said that we need to make profession of our faith. Will you come and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I want to tell you, I have believed through the scriptures, I have believed through these times I hear you. Today I want to profess that I am a believer in Christ Jesus. You never have done this before. You want to do it today. I give you the opportunity to do it. Because the sermon says that if you have repent, you have to tell us. Will you do that? Will you come and say, Pastor, I want you to tell the congregation, I have Jesus Christ at my heart. This is new to me. This is something that came through the preachings and through the study of the Bible. I'm a new creature. I'm sure I'm not going to hell because of Christ. But I want to profess that. Is anybody coming? I don't want to wait too long. But I invite you, so I'll be not responsible for the invitation. I'm not responsible. If you're going to hell, I'm not responsible. I want to give you the opportunity to say, God, I believe. It's not that you believe this morning. It's that you have believed through the studies of God's Word. Something came into your heart and now you know. And we want to know. And we want to give you the opportunity. Father, we have preached. And we have told the people the truth. Now, I am not guilty of not offering them the wonders of your love. Work in the heart of each individual that they may know, that they may know that they are yours. May your word be so clear in their mind that they will have no objection to tell others, I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for the testimony of the scripture. And thank you for the patience that you have with us so that you give us a space, opportunity to turn to you. Thank you for convicting us. Thank you for the scripture. We have the power to give us faith. And now, Father, may you receive the glory and the honor in Jesus our Lord. Amen.